Let us pray. God, a poor widow offered two tiny coins to you. We come to offer ourselves to you. Set us free from judging ourselves or our gifts, and enable us freely to give in the Spirit,
Of Christ.
Amen. A reading from 1 Kings. Now there was no rain in the land. Then the word of God came to Elijah, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water vessel so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have baked nothing, only a meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Holy One, the God of Israel, the jar of the meal will not be emptied and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, and she as well as her household ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word that God spoke by Elijah, the word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand in body or in spirit for the reading of Psalm 116. I love the Lord who has heard my voice and my supplications and has inclined his ear to me whenever I called.
The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish.
Then I called on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, I beseech you, save my life. Oh, praise the Lord who delivers your soul from death.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous, our God is merciful.
The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, the Lord saved me.
Return, O my soul, to your rest.
For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you.
For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling.
I walk before the Lord in the land of the living.
I kept my faith even when I said, "I am greatly afflicted."
I said in my consternation, "All humans are a vain hope." Oh, praise the Lord who delivers your soul from death.
What shall I return to the Lord for all my benefits?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones.
O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your handmaid. You have loosened my bonds.
I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord who delivered your soul from death.
A reading from Romans. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as one in one body, we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So, who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Mark's gospel in the 12th chapter. As Jesus was teaching, he said, "Beware of those scribes who like to wear long, fancy robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplace. They have all the best seats at the synagogue and have all the seats of honor at banquets. They're devouring widows' houses. And for the sake of appearance, they make long, pious prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." And he sat down opposite the treasury, and he watched people putting money into the treasury. Many rich people came and put in large sums of money. And then a poor widow came in and put in 2 copper coins worth a penny. Tink! Tink! And Jesus called his disciples. And he said, "Listen, I'm telling you, this poor widow has contributed more than everyone else who's contributed to the treasury. Because they gave out of their abundance. But this woman, out of her poverty, has given everything, all she had to live on." As they were walking out of the temple, one of Jesus' disciples said, "Wow, teacher, look at these great, huge stones, huge buildings." And Jesus said, "You see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left on another. It is all coming down." The Gospel of the Beloved, Jesus Christ. I'm pretty sure that that woman had no idea that anybody was even noticing her at all, let alone what she was doing. And certainly no expectation that a rabbi would comment favorably on her generosity. And I'm absolutely certain there was no way she could have imagined that we would be telling her story 2,000 years later. She thought she was just putting in what she had. And of course, what Jesus noticed is that she was putting in what she had. What Jesus noticed is that the content and the amount of our gifts really doesn't matter. It's the spirit with which we give them. It's what love we put into those gifts that make them what they are. Jesus saw what she was doing in the context of that world that they lived in. Mark is careful to show us, he's been showing us all along through the gospel, Jesus' campaign for justice. And in particular, Jesus shows us the contrast between people who live out of fear and greed and people who live with love and generosity. And we see it in this story where Jesus says, "Beware of those scribes who are living out of greed, who consume women's homes, who make them so impoverished they have to sell their houses so that they can pay the temple tax." And then he immediately has us notice one of those poor widows and the generosity with which she lives. And then Jesus issues his judgment on all of that, which is, the temple's coming down. Not that there was anything wrong with the temple, but the greed with which people used that system. And Jesus shows us this contrast. It's not between people who are necessarily rich or poor or even powerful or without power. It's the spirit with which they use their power or their gifts or their money. It's the woman's generosity, not the amount, that makes it so huge. Because Jesus knows that you have in you gifts to give. And it's the spirit with which you give them that makes them what they are. This week, you're going to be thinking and praying about your financial pledge for next year. And at some point, you'll take that little card and write in a number. But I encourage you to not think of a number. Think about joy. Think about what would give you the greatest joy. And then find an amount to pledge that will make you joyful. Think of how much gratitude you want to express. Think of what it would take to really feel and express that gratitude and pledge that. Because it's the gratitude, not the amount, that matters. Think about your trust. Think about really trusting God. It might be that if you want to really trust God, you'll pledge a little less so that you're not so nervous and you can trust God more. Okay, then do that. It might be that you realize that if you pledged more, you'd have to trust God more, and that would deepen your faith. So you pick a different number. But don't think about the amount. Think about the trust and the gratitude and the joy. Because it's the spirit, not the amount. You have in you couple of little copper coins. Might not look like they're worth much to the world. Might not feel like they're worth much to you. But the gift that you have is what God most wants you to give. Might be time. Might be money. Might be something else. Might be your capacity to listen to people. It might be your patience, your forgiveness. It might mean your willingness to help out with things, fix things, bake things. We each have different gifts. But whatever it is, your gift will be the most pleasing to God if you give it. And it's the Spirit, not the thing itself that matters the most. This pastor who said that there was a young single mom with a little kid that came to her church asking for money, as people often do, but it was sort of peculiar because she first asked if the kid could go play outside in the playground, and it was winter, it was December, it was cold. And the pastor said, yeah, but it's cold out there. And the woman said, this will just take a minute. So the kid went out to play, and the woman explained that the thing was, she was on food stamps and had just barely enough income with a part-time job that she worked during school hours that she could get by. They had rental assistance. She mostly rode the bus. Things were mostly under control, but it was the middle of December and Christmas was coming. And the thing that wounded her son the most, this very sensitive little boy, was not that he was afraid that he was not going to get a Christmas present. He already pretty much saw that coming. But the mom said with a gleam in her eye, what he doesn't know is, I've made him a present. I've knitted him a sweater. But she said, what's really hard for my son is that he has nothing to give his mother. And he really wants to give his mom something for Christmas. Just 10 or 15 bucks would be enough that I could give him so that he could have something to give. And the pastor said, I have an even better idea. I'll hire him. So she asked the mom to go sit in the sanctuary and pray for a while. And she went out into the playground and got the kid and brought him in and asked him if he'd like to work for her for a while. And he said, sure. So she had him help her sweep out a couple classrooms, and they sorted out some crayons from the art supply room, and they folded some bulletins and whatever. They just kind of did some chores for a while. And then she thanked him for his work, and she paid him and gave him a $10 bill. And the mom was exceedingly grateful. She was just near tears. A couple months later, the mom showed up one day during school hours, found the pastor, and she was wearing this knitted stocking cap, sort of goofy looking thing, and she said, I just wanted to come and show you my hat. My son gave it to me for Christmas. I'm pretty sure it cost $9.95 at Kmart. And it's the best Christmas present I ever got in my life, to see that look on his face. And they hugged and became friends. God has set you up. Everything you have, everything God led you to believe was yours, so that you can give it freely. And whatever you have to give, whatever silly little 2 cents worth is your gift, is the best present God will ever receive. What is that gift that's in you? It might not seem like it's worth much to the world. It might not feel like it's worth that much to you. But it might be exactly what God most wants. There was a woman named Mary Ann in Big Fork, Montana. I bet Beth remembers her. She was the church greeter. And she would stand by the door in that church and greet everybody who came in. She did that for 50 years. And she greeted them with joy and love. And if she didn't know them, she would ask their name and get to know them. And if they snuck in a side door, she would notice and she would go over and say, I noticed you came in the back door. I didn't say. And she would get everybody in the church. And she did that every day until she got too old and sick. And she was pretty sick. She had like 4 kinds of cancer and heart trouble. And she was on an oxygen tank. And she would haul that oxygen tank in. And she would greet people every day by the door. And then she got too sick to come to church. And when I visited her, she said, I want to ask you a big favor. And I thought, okay, let's see what this is. And she said, I wonder if you would be willing to print off the name of everybody in the church so that I can pray for them. Because that's one thing I can do. She's lying in her bed. She's unable to get up. And she's still thinking about the one thing she can do. Her little 2 copper coins. You know, those were almost the last words she ever said to me before she died. Talking about that one thing she could do. You probably have more than one thing. It's probably the best thing God could ever receive. Trust that. And give it. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for the gifts you give us. Help us to know our gifts. And give us the joy and trust and generosity to give them freely. And to know that whatever they are, it is your delight to receive them. God, we give you thanks. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.